This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
Hello there. My name is Brant, B-R-A-N-T, Brant. And the reason I say that is because we just got a call from a guy. He's like, that guy you have on your radio station is crazy. I don't know what his name is, but he's on with Sherry. And I thought, that is so incredibly awesome. It's like it's called the Brant Hanson Show. But truly, and I mean this, like truly, dear. Your personality is so so appealing to people that it's
I don't know if it's appealing. It's just big. I have a big personality.
Big and awesome.
I didn't know that.
Big and awesome. I just thought that was one of the best things ever. It's like the Brant Hanson Show. I don't know him, but he's on with Sherry. And that is so great. I loved it. Anyway, welcome to the show. That's what I'm trying to say. Happened again recently. We're just talking about the show. If you're new to it, happened again. I've had two people in the last week say, man, when I first heard you, I hated you. And now I love the show. I feel like we're friends.
And it's meant to be loving and the compliment, but that hate part can...
I laugh every time. I'm like, I never know quite how to feel about that. What does it mean? I hated you. So give it a chance. If you're at the hate level, the hate stage, that's natural.
That's natural for this show. There are several stages, and that's what, the first stage? The first stage is, what is this, right?
What is this? Yeah, one guy said, I didn't understand why you had that guy on your station because he's crazy. Like, legitimately crazy.
They were talking about you.
Me.
Okay.
But which mirrors my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I come across wrong with my body language, too, and people at first don't. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Right.
We can be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Please give us a chance. And then over time, we can be friends and stuff.
Right. We're not saying we're not crazy. We're just going to say you'll find out why if you hang in there.
And a lot of times you end up liking crazy people. You're like, oh, yeah.
It's my crazy friend, Brant.
Not
my
always.
Crazy friend,
I mean, Jerry. You might just stay alienated. But give peace a chance is what I'm saying. There are London buses that have this on the side of the bus. Says something so interesting. It says, well, I should direct quote it, but it says, there probably is no God, so stop worrying and relax. And that is so ironic to me, because Jesus is effectively saying there is a God. He's your father. He wants you. He loves you, and he's in control, so stop worrying. I'm going to give you life to the full. You can stop worrying because there is a God. If there is no God, this is it. I better hang on as best I can, because this is it. I'm not even sure what matters.
Nothing could matter if
I don't know.
There's nothing else.
I guess it's, I don't know. But isn't it funny? Because Jesus is saying stop worrying, but because there is a big picture, even if you don't know about it, and he's got it in his hands. He actually loves you, wants you still, and there is a purpose to all this, so you can stop worrying. So interesting. It says on these buses we were talking about in London, it says there's probably no God, so stop worrying and relax, or something like that. Okay. There probably is no God. Probably.
Not quite so definitive there.
Don't worry, because there probably
there's a good chance. Yeah.
But beyond that, think about this. Like, why would I worry if there's a God who loves me and has a big picture? I guess it's if I've alienated myself and I don't want to go back to him. Otherwise, I don't have to worry. If he actually loves me, he's given us freedom to turn toward him or away from him anytime. I can turn toward him today, or I can turn away from him.
And Jesus says, I give you rest.
Right.
That's when you come to me, you get rest.
And he's saying, you don't have to worry because God loves you, and he keeps his eye even on the sparrow. He knows what's going on. But I would look at the cross, and I know this sounds like a really Christian-y thing to say, but I would look at the cross and say, that's why you don't have to worry, because God's already worked out this thing, this sin, this brokenness on our end. He's already worked it out. That's why you don't have to worry. There is a God, but he's already paid the price. That's why you don't have to worry. This is a real trap. I don't know how to figure this out. I have friends, and I appreciate it. They've read my book. It's not out yet, but you can pre-order it if you want or whatever. But they were saying, hey, I want to get this for this person I know who's easily offended.
Now, how does that work out?
If you give about how you should stop being offended to somebody who's easily offended.
How do they not get offended by getting that book? But they need it.
But they do need it.
That's a catch-22.
It's about anger. The book, and it takes attack. If you read this, most people disagree with it. first couple pages.
Why?
But then they're sold.
The title of the book is Unoffendable.
It's Unoffendable.
Okay.
Because it's about anger. It's about how we're not entitled to it ever. Mm-hmm. And how much better our life is when we finally breathe that in. It's like we understand what grace really finally is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the book and how this affects different areas of our life and makes it better. That's the idea.
Okay.
But the idea of buying it for multiple people who you're like, man, this person is just constantly angry. I'm so tired of the... I was kind of wondering, what would it be like if Christians in particular, anybody can read this, but if Christians in particular were the most unoffendable people on the planet?
It would turn things upside down.
We would be something else to be around. So relaxing.
Especially in this culture right now, in this country.
Yeah, because everybody's ticked.
Everyone's offended. It's the new national pastime.
All the time about everything. What if we were the ones who are like, yeah, we know humans are broken and we're called to forgive. We're different. So we're not scandalized by anything. We've seen it. We've seen our own sinfulness. Certainly can't hold it against you. Mm-hmm. We understand we're broken and we need God. So, but the idea of giving it to somebody who's easily offended, I don't have a trick for that. I guess maybe just be like, I know you're going to be offended by this, but give it a chance. We call them deal breaker questions. It's a hypothetical question to find out how women think about things. Alicia is on the phone. Are you single or married?
I am married.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you would, and you can bring your wisdom to bear on this, but imagine if you're single and you meet a guy and he's everything you ever wanted, personality-wise.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy, too. He's smart. He's funny. He's a great provider. Everything you ever wanted. But this is the deal breaker. He's a huge football fan. Is that okay so far?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
He's a huge Green Bay Packers fan. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
He will always, the rest of his life, wear one of those cheese head things on top of his head.
I knew we were going somewhere that was going to be interesting. Okay.
For all occasions, okay, the rest of his life. But he's a great guy. He's fun to be around. Great provider. Great with kids.
Okay, so we're talking church, we're talking
everything.
Dinner, we're talking
never
funerals.
Yeah. We'll never be taking it off.
Okay, Alicia?
Never. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, I think that since I'm over 40 and I don't care what people think anymore, I would be totally fine with it at this stage of life. But 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been okay with it.
Good for you.
That's good. Wisdom.
Looking past that giant wedge of cheese on top of his head. Cassie on the phone, are you single or married? Or?
I'm single.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, imagine you met the guy that you're just like, this is the guy I've always wanted as a husband. He's incredible. He's good looking. He's smart. He's a great leader. He's respected. He's humble. Has a great sense of humor. Everything you ever want. Great with kids. Spiritually mature. Wonderful guy. The only caveat, we're wondering if this would be a deal breaker. He wants to marry you. And so he's on bended knee. The only caveat is that he's a huge Green Bay Packers fan to the extent that he wears one of those cheesehead hats 24/7, and he will for the rest of his life. He will never be taking it off. But other than that, he's awesome. Is that a deal breaker? Would you not get married to this man?
Okay, a cheesehead for the rest of his life.
Rest of his life. It'll be in your wedding. He'll have the cheesehead on.
Oh my goodness, at the wedding?
Job interviews, funerals.
Oh boy.
24 hours a day. But he's awesome, and he's just great to be around.
And no baseball cap, just the cheesehead.
Just the giant wedge of cheese perched atop his head. I think you understand, Cassie. I think you're stalling. You're doing this clarification thing, but I think you just want time.
I guess I'd take
him. And Jennifer?
Okay. Now, I do have a husband who is a huge Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
So in the interest of my relationship with him, I would have to say that were I single and ran into a cheesehead, I would have to say that's a deal breaker.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but you're doing it more along the lines of that's not your team. What if he wears one of those huge styrofoam cowboy hats?
Huge,
like 3 feet tall, oversized.
I'm just going to have to say no.
Okay, yeah, Jennifer, yeah. Kind of picky.
Yeah, that's
kind of picky.
I'd rather live with the guy who had all the rats in his house than...
That guy's gone.
He was taken off the market.
He married somebody else. So
all we have is cheesehead for you.
You can't get rats guy anymore. Hey, my name is Brant. We know Sherry and I both, that our show is kind of odd. We get it. It'll take you a little bit maybe to catch on, but we invite you to be our friend. And Sherry spends time making a podcast every day from our show. So if you just want to hear, you missed something, you want to hear the show again, for who knows what reason, why would you want to hear it again?
Well, sometimes you're like, maybe you caught something that wasn't in context. Maybe you didn't get to hear the rest of it.
Maybe you're getting your PhD in some sort of psychology field and you wanted, like, to document some
these two some nutcases.
maybe you need to cite the show in your footnotes. Be like, no, seriously. I've heard people do this. That would be... Anyway, the podcasts are up at BrantHanson.com, and you can listen to the show anytime you want. Take it with you, download them all, whatever. But it's at BrantHanson.com. Here's what I think the most shocking fact in the Bible is, and a lot of people who believe in the Bible, or say they do, don't believe in this. They really struggle with it deep down. And I do too. The most shocking thing to me is that God actually wants to be with us. He really does. That's amazing. And you can say, well, I see the stories, you know, thousands of years ago. He put a tent up with the Israelites. He wanted to live among them. But those were a special people. No, they were just as fallen as you and me. They were just as much a mess as you and me. You may think that you're so far gone or something. You're so sinful. I've thought that myself about me. But it's naive to think that they were any better than us. But they weren't. They were broken people. In a mess, and he still wanted to be with them. I think a lot of us believe it in theory, but we don't believe it about us. We might think it about other people. Yeah, God loves people, but not about me. But he does. That's what he wants. He wants a spiritual people that will just be with him. He wants our hearts. Still wants us. Knows us all the way through. Still wants us. I think it's true. A lot of us will believe things about God in theory. Mm-hmm. And we could pass a lie detector test. Yes, I believe God loves people. Unless it's about us.
Yeah.
And we suspect deep down, and you can respond different ways people do to this. We know we're broken. Mm-hmm. We try to find ways around it. We can pretend there is no God. Or we can pretend we're victimized in this. We can pretend for a number of reasons, but we know we're broken. Something's wrong. We're rebellious. We're selfish. But the question is, does he actually still want us? And I think a lot of us, when it comes to us, we don't think that.
Yeah, it's hard for me. It always has been. But that's what I have to strive to believe. He is who he said he is. And he's love. And he loves me. And there was nothing about me that he didn't know when he went to Calvary.
I think that's the tricky thing is, mm-hmm. Is realizing he doesn't love us because we're lovable.
Right.
That's not the point. I think in the back of our mind, the rest of the world works that way. Like, you're good looking enough, or you're charming enough,
it's
or something.
Behavior based.
Somebody will love you because you're this or that.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us because he's this or that. Like,
yeah.
He's loving, like you said, he's love.
And the Bible says that I can love him because he first loved me. So it's not in a, I'm not trying to get love, I'm responding to love.
And that's wonderful, because that takes it out of the realm of a consumer relationship. Like, well, if I give you this, then you give me that. It's mm-hmm. nothing like that. He's already paid the price. It's taken care of now. We're free to respond. But it's up to us. We don't have to. It's free. I admit that sometimes I have weird interests. I get that. But I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked to find out nobody knows their latitude or their coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where you are on the planet right now, do you, Sherry?
I know what state and city. And
I even told you what latitude we're at. Do you remember what it was?
No.
You intentionally forgot it.
I didn't.
You intentionally did not want to remember.
I
was shocked.
I could say that most people don't care, Brent, because it doesn't bear any necessity in your everyday life.
But that's
I
feel about our entire culture. I don't understand what does Kim Kardashian have to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, everybody knows stuff about her, and we don't even know where we are on the planet.
Kim Kardashian and latitude.
I don't understand our entire culture. This man does. He called and left a message.
Hey, Brent. My name's Mark. I'm calling from Phoenix. I also have a concern about people across America not really knowing what their coordinates are. As I'm driving home, I realized that we could solve this problem by renaming all of our streets purely with the longitudinal or latitudinal coordinates instead of having street names.
Preach! That
okay.
is awesome!
All right, so the movement is catching
Amen.
On.
There it's, are people who understand me.
Now it's the two of you.
At a deeper level, I just feel like I have a friend. That's all. Hey, we want to welcome new people to the program. You should know this, just as a little caveat. You are free to disagree with me. Hopefully, Sherry... example.
I agree with you on a lot of things.
I know you do.
It's just some things I'm confused by it.
I just am always concerned because we talk about stuff a lot of times that's really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to come off like I know I can, mm-hmm. or anybody can, frankly, where you like, I am Mr. Answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I know that. Whether it's we're talking about male-female relationships this mm-hmm. week, or we're always talking about God and who Jesus is,
mm-hmm.
what he means to us. So please know that. And you're always welcome to interact with us. My website is BrantHanson.com, and I'm genuinely interested in what you think about different stuff. So thanks for emails. And
yeah, we get emails that say, hey, I agree with you. We get emails that say, yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I like talking about stuff like Friends, other than, but people are used to people on the radio going, I know everything about this, or on TV or whatever.
So we don't take ourselves as authorities. We're just having a discussion.
No, not yet. I'm going to keep reading and I'll be a total expert on everything.
We'll let you know when that comes.
We'll tell you. You are suddenly, you're like, I'm listening to the radio. Aha, uh-huh. But you're also on a giant spaceship that looks kind of like Star Trek Next Generation set.
Mm-hmm.
And I look like Jean-Luc Picard, and I'm sitting in an awesome captain's chair, and we were looking at a giant screen. Sherry's the navigator of this spaceship. On the giant screen is an alien planet. We're looking at it live right now. It might blow up in seconds based on how one of our listeners responds to a question in the next few minutes.
This is something, isn't it?
I know. See, other radio stations and shows like, hey, we'll give away this little, you know, bobblehead or whatever. Who cares? I'm like, why would I want that instead of something at huge stakes?
Yeah. Blowing up a planet is huge.
Millions of aliens. Mm-hmm. And they are nervous. They're teeming around, hoping that somebody gets a question right. If they get it wrong, planet blows up live on the air. So that is coming up. Brace yourself for this. So awesome. Joe is on the phone. Are you ready to try to save an alien planet right now?
Okay. Yeah. I've often wanted to save aliens.
Okay, well, this is your chance. Now, the only downside of this is if you get it wrong, you haven't saved aliens. You've cost them everything dear to them.
Including their lives.
Their very lives, mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right, don't worry about it. You're playing with house money here, man. Okay, well, here is the question, and if you get it wrong, the entire planet will blow up in front of our eyes, and it'll be all on you, the guilt. The one question that we have that with the alien planet in the balance is this. What's the percentage of people who get their pets something for Valentine's Day? 3%?
Okay.
13%? Or 23%? 3, 13, or 23 for the fate of a planet?
Oh, boy.
Can I phone a friend?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
By the way, all these aliens are watching you on big screen TVs all over their planet. And they're come on.
I'm going to go with 23.
The answer is 3%.
Oh, man.
Bogus.
Look at that. Wow.
Wow.
Bogus.
Yeah, boy, that planet just blew right up, didn't it?
Wow. Yikes. So sorry.
Oh, well.
What do you do?
What do you do, my friend?
You know, that hurts a little more than I thought it would. I feel bad for all of them.
That's all right.
Did some of them deserve it?
I'm sure they did.
They had it coming!
Some of them. Not all of them, but a few.
Still hurt.
I freely admit I don't know what I'm doing. Normally, some people have what's called executive function.
Okay.
And apparently there's a part in the normal human brain where you kind of know where you're going and when, mm-hmm. and you can plan things.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is blown. I got no idea what's going on anymore.
So there's no executive function up
None.
There at all?
And I've got too many things going on. It's
okay.
It's the radio show, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
The book thing, which is awesome. It's,
right.
It's all wonderful stuff. And my full-time job is with Cure International.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to speak for them and do all that kind of stuff. But I don't know where I'm going one day to the next now. 1 hour to the next.
1 minute to the next.
1 minute. And I've asked my wife to help, but she's got her own thing going on.
Right. Are you asking?
I guess I'm asking for help.
Okay.
If you're listening and you're really good at that kind of stuff, if you have any hints, I'm really an open book on this.
Okay, how to organize, well, what are we talking here? Organization, or are we talking
I don't
just,
know where I'm going and when.
I'm
I don't know how. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know. Like I bought one of those back in the day when they had day timers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting like 7 different versions of those.
Right.
I've done post-it notes. I've done all this, these systems.
Mm-hmm.
My computer, the iCalendar, Google Calendar.
And you forget to check them. Is this part of the Asperger's?
I think it is.
Okay.
But I know people who don't have Asperger's can relate to that too. Mm-hmm. But I don't. If somebody's like that and you've got something for me, help me.
Okay.
My email address is brant@cure.org. I'm not kidding.
Okay, this should be good.
So genuine help.
A genuine cry.
This is a genuine cry. I genuinely don't know. I've reached that point where you have to admit you got a problem.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm going.
All right. Well, this is...
Who am I? There are different kinds of intelligence. We know this. Well, one of them is executive function. A lot of people don't have it. And I'm very low in this kind of intelligence, extremely low. Some of my heroes are too. G.K. Chesterton published his own newspaper in London. He would go to a newsstand and buy a copy of his own newspaper because it would have the masthead address so that he would remember where his office was, and he'd ask for directions to that address.
That's fascinating.
So I'm not that bad, but he would have to, his wife would go through his receipts every day to figure out where he was, what part of town.
What he had going on for the day.
So there's people like that. I think everybody knows somebody. If you're not that way, you might know somebody. So I'm not the only one.
I don't understand. So if you're just sitting somewhere, like if I'm sitting somewhere, I'm like, okay, 10:15 this, 10:30 this, 11:30 that. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking, wow, those Germans should have mechanized quicker if they wanted a chance on the Eastern Front. Why did they underestimate the Russians' ability to mobilize? That's what I'm thinking. And then somebody taps me like, dude, you're late for your whatever. That's not what it is. It is that constantly.
Okay.
I have no clue what's going on.
Okay.
Now you know.
Please keep listening.
Yeah, there you go. So we've been talking about men and women and relationships a lot this week, but one thing that came up was, this is so true. I read this, and as a guy, I can confirm this. If a woman is responsive to a guy's wanting to help, wanting to do something, wanting to provide in some small way, if there's a responsiveness, it's very attractive. It's just maybe hard for some women to receive that. They don't realize what a big deal it is to a guy.
Yeah, I don't think women realize how important that is.
Extremely. It draws affection out of a man. The right kind of affection, too. Appreciated this message that was left.
Hi, this is Michelle from Colorado Springs. I was one of those girls that would not let guys pay because I think I felt very vulnerable in the way that I felt like they would be asking something in return from me, as values are not set, whether Christians or not. Guys can tend to be like, hey, I want something from you. My husband, he was one that fought to make sure he paid the bill. He got very creative to get around me so that he could pay the bill, and I married him.
That makes total sense. And again, it's whether or not you necessarily know, if you like this guy, I'm telling you, it's a very good way to generate his affection, to be responsive in that way.
And if he does do that pay, and then it seems like he is interested in something in return, then at least you've weeded him out to think, okay, this isn't the guy I'm looking for. Right?
Absolutely, be done with him. But the combination of being responsive to that kindness and then be confident.
Yeah.
Both is just, it's really good for guys.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.